can go to him, that we can come to him. He is so worthy. Our affirmation today comes from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, starting with the first verse. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
We give you thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers.
Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake.
And ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy from the Holy Ghost.
So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We wait for you, Lord. We wait for you this day. We want you in this place. We want you everywhere we are. We want you. We need you. We desire you. Have your way in this place. Lord, give us a sense of your presence so that we know that we know that we know that we've been in contact with heaven, that we've been in contact with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is none other like you. And we're excited. We're excited that we're together, able to worship the King. Lord, help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What it took for us to be a part of each other. What it took is so amazing. God has blessed us so greatly, so wonderfully. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, today we want to hear from you. This day where we celebrate the Lord's Supper, celebrate communion this day. We want to be reminded of why and how. Help us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we start a new series in the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, starting at chapter 1. It's really an exciting thing to look into this book. This is probably one of the oldest New Testament books, written in about 50-51 AD. And it just is fascinating how it all gets there. It's written, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you wonder, how did they get there? Why is he writing to them? Why is this so special? And I went back and looked in the book of Acts, and we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 17, the book of Acts, chapter 17. We'll start at verse 1 there, because I wanted you to understand why he was so affectionate for the folks that he had started a church with in Thessalonica. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came unto Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasons with them out of the scriptures. For a little bit under a month, he was reasoning with them and talking to them. They had, before they'd gone there, they had been in Philippians and in the Philippi, where he was in jail and he was miraculously delivered, and the jailer and his whole family came to Christ, and it was just an exciting time. And he went from Philippi to Thessalonica. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days and reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. In other words, it was important that Christ would suffer. It was important that he would go through the stuff that he had to go through, and that Christ was risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. This person that I'm preaching to you, this person that I'm telling you about, is Jesus. And Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was anointed, the one that you've been waiting to come. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. There were just a lot of people that said, hey, this, we believe this. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. They didn't like that suddenly they're able to draw this crowd. They didn't like that suddenly this guy was taking over here. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. This is amazing that people would get all excited by people that really weren't all that kind of good people, but they had something to say, and so they followed after them. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Wouldn't it be nice if they said that about you? She turned the world upside down. Wouldn't that be nice if they had said that about you? Everything they said just shook everybody up. Sometimes I think we just work too hard to be too acceptable, too well liked. We just want to kind of fit in. We don't want anybody to really notice us. We want to be good little kids. Now, I like that little kid, man, that's climbing all over the walls. We've got to be those people that want to be heard about Jesus. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, King Jesus. And they troubled the people and rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So there he was only in Thessalonians probably under a month. He really wasn't there all that long. But something happened when he was there with the Thessalonians. Something happened. Verse 2 in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, sometimes I pray for you. In fact, I pray for you a lot, but sometimes I'm more diligent than the others. You ever find yourself not being diligent in prayer? You ever find yourself not really giving yourself over to prayer? There is nothing more powerful that we could do for anybody about anything than prayer. We can ask and it will be given us, seek and we'll find, knock and it shall be opened. We need to be people of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We're asking that his kingdom would be established here on earth. Thy will be done, that his way would be happening in our lives and the lives of those that we love. In fact, even the lives of those that we haven't loved so well. We want our Father's will to be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you realize that we need him to feed us, to take care of us, to keep us, if we are going to go on to the next moment, let alone the next day? We need him. He feeds us. He is our provision. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And you are something to give thanks for, and I appreciate you. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. This threw me a little bit once I really stopped to think about it. Your work of faith? Wait a minute. Don't we preach grace here? It's by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. So what's this thing of work of faith? Well, have you really stopped to think about that? You don't work to get faith. You don't work to get salvation. But if you are saved, you will work. You see, because it becomes natural to you. It becomes a part of who you are. If you are saved, you show it by the way that you live, and that life will do what God would have you to do. You'll be the kind of person that lets their light so shine among men that people see their good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You will work if you are saved. You don't work to get saved, because that won't get you anywhere. But once you are saved, you will want to do the work that God has called you to. And make no mistake, each of you is called. Some of you think that you are called to sit and listen. No. You know, when you sit and listen, we just sit and sour. God wants to flow through you. You have been blessed to be a blessing. God is calling you to be a blessing through being obedient to him. So your work of faith and labor of love. Do you love him? Do you really love him? Hebrews, I think, the 10th chapter. It's interesting. Hebrews in the 10th chapter is a fascinating verse here. And it says, let us consider one another. Let's help each other here. Let's spur each other on here. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. We need to be about the business of loving each other. Now, you know that love looks different all the time. You know, how I show love and affection to some guy and how I show love and affection to my wife really need to be different. Yes, sir. But the reality is I still need to show love and affection, love and care, love and help. We need to love each other. We need to do the one another's to each other. We need to show each other that God loves them and that you are willing to be a vehicle to love someone. You are willing to be a vehicle that helps someone that needs to be loved, that needs to be cared for. Sometimes just the right word at the right time, the right way is so very special and very real. It's important. It's definite that you need to be a conduit for God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Sometimes we just think we can do this thing off by ourselves in the woods somewhere. Or maybe we can just stay in our room and be holy all by ourselves. And maybe we even feel a little holier by ourselves. No, you can't be obedient to God without taking the opportunity to share the truth of the gospel, to discuss the things of God, to speak the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's not to dwell in you just to hang out. The word of God is to dwell in you richly, teaching one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. You're to get together and share with each other and talk to each other and be with each other and practice the truth of the gospel, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And Paul recognized that in the Thessalonians, that they were doing that. They had a work of faith and a labor of love, but they had patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are waiting for someone. You know, sometimes you can get very frustrated waiting on someone. You just wait, tap your foot, all of that kind of stuff. We're waiting for someone. I am looking forward to the day that Jesus cracks the sky. I'm looking forward to the day he comes and returns and takes me with him. I am looking forward to the day Jesus is coming for us. I don't know what we're going to look like then, but I know that we are going through a process right now that we're being changed from glory to glory to glory. We're being made different from glory to glory to glory. We're being helped and we are being made different. And when he returns, we will be like him, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who is and was and is to come. We're going to be like him. We're going to have the power of God working in our lives. Don't you want to know that power? Maybe I'm wrong, but I like the idea of being powerful. Don't you want to allow the power of God to move through you? Especially when you know who you are. You see, I know I'm weak. I know I'm needy. I know that without him, I can do nothing. But thank you, Jesus. I don't have to not have him. I can have him forever. He is with me forever. Frankly, it's of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed. But I'm not consumed because I'm not without him. He will never leave me. He will never forsake you. He is with you even now. In your darkest hour, he's the brightest light. He's God. He's God all by himself, and he's calling unto you. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense, great promise of reward, that having done the will of God, that you decide, you choose to live a righteous life, he will complete it. He'll get it done in you. Your life will have meaning, has meaning. Your life already has meaning. Some people, I know, they're saying, yep, I know the meaning of my life. I'm the excellent bad example. You're made for more. That's worth celebrating. You're made for more. He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it. You don't have to worry. He sees you. He knows you. He wants you. And I know some days you fall short. I know some days you don't get it right. But aren't you glad it doesn't depend on your performance? It depends on his promise. So we have this work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Guess what? He chose you. We use this language that, yes, I decided to choose God and follow him, as if God is like really excited about that. You know, you chose me. Well, that's nice. No, before the foundation of the world, he chose you. He has been inexorably drawing you and moving in you to one day your will came up with this wondrous idea. Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But make no mistake, he chose you before you knew he even existed. He chose you, and he's calling you even now because he has made you for a purpose. Earlier I said, it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works. There's something for you. And if you are upright and breathing this day, he's got something for you to do. He's got something that is particular to you, that he has fitted you for. You are a tool in the hands of a master. And right now, he wants to fill you with his presence so that he operates in a way that will give him glory. Will you let him work through you today? Will you let him do in you today what he wants to do so that you might experience the joy of the Lord? Oh, how I want to experience his joy. How I want to have someone that says about me what Paul is saying about the Thessalonians. How I want to say that the things that I do, the things that I'm involved in, are the things that God has caused me to set my hand to, and they are successful in his eyes because he has chosen to glorify himself in me because he made me for himself. We are made for God's pleasure. Have you been giving God pleasure lately? Do you feel his pleasure? What was that runner that in that slow motion thing? Do 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 do. I laugh at that. But a statement that he made, when I run, which for anybody else might be like, run, nobody's chasing me. But when I run, I feel God's pleasure. You see, I want to live a life where I feel God's pleasure. Well, I know that I know that I know that he is using me to do what he would have me to do. And I can tell you in general what all of us have been called to do. We are all to make disciples that make disciples that can make disciples. We have all been called to share the truth of the gospel, the good news that the kingdom has arrived, and I am an ambassador of that kingdom, and everywhere I go, I will declare, this is God's. This is your place, Lord, because I'm yours, and wherever I am is yours. I claim it for you. Oh, but, and he just smiles and pats me on the head and says, son, it was mine anyway. You see, because the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. And if you hadn't noticed, the hills were mine too. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day showeth night. Day unto day. A show of knowledge, night and night, something. But whatever it is, will show his glory. Show that he is real. Show that he cares. Shows that he's brought us together. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Oh, I am so glad that he just doesn't spout a bunch of words at us, but that he's changing us. We know his power. We can see his healing hand, his loving hand, his kind hand. But we also know that we have his presence. The Holy Spirit is here. So we know that we have his word. We can detect what he's saying. We've got the word of God. We've got his power. There's actually things that happen in our lives because of that word. But we also have his presence, the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, and him being with me assures me of some things. Because he's here, I'm assured of his goodness and grace. I'm assured, you know, I used to love to have my daddy around. I was awfully bold when daddy was around, except toward him. Yeah, no, wasn't he bold toward him. It was with him. I could go anywhere, do anything, because daddy was there. He's here. He's here, and he loves you. I don't know what kind of earthly father you have, but this is the perfect father. I don't know what kind of mess your family has, but this one, this is God, and he loves you perfectly, and he is a good God. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That's interesting. Paul is saying, look, we were there for just a short time, but you know what we did. You saw it. It's a testimony of how we live. You saw that we got chased out of the city. I just read that to you earlier from Acts 17. We got chased out, but that's all right. You saw that. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. It was tough. And frankly, some of us feel that tough today. You know, it hurts. Life is not all we want it to be. It's busy and crazy, and we're not sure that we're satisfied with the way things are for us. And it's hard, and it's challenging, and we're not quite sure what we do next. And all of these things are going through our head. There's challenges. These folks had real affliction. People were thinking about killing them and beating them and chasing them and all kinds of crazy things. But they had the joy of the presence of God. Would you today, would you stop and experience the presence of God? Dear Father, reveal yourself to us even now. Reveal your presence to us even now. Will you show yourself to us? Will you help us to get it? So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That was all of Greece. People saw what happened where they were, and it spread all over. Listen, if we get it right here in this little place, the whole world will find out. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also to every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. That seems like it's a work of faith. You serve the living and true God. That seems like a labor of love. And to wait for his son from heaven. My goodness, that seems like hope. Whom he raised from the dead. Do we believe it? Do you have that hope today? Do you know that you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? He was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. And is now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me and for all of you that believe. Do you believe? Even Jesus, which has already delivered us from the wrath to come. Wrath is coming. But we have been delivered if we know Jesus. Do you know him today? If you know him today, maybe together you will acknowledge that with me. If you know him today, maybe together we can partake of what we like to call the Lord's Supper. Some like to call it communion. We commemorate that the same way that Jesus did and talked about us doing. The wafer, the bread, is remembering that came in a real body. Real, honest to goodness, we could flesh and blood body. He lived a sinless life. We remember that. But then he died on the cross, his blood spilled out after being nailed there, he died. The wrath of God was concentrated on him. He suffered for us. And we remember that he died. And of course, we can celebrate that he rose again and crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Is he living in you today? I'm going to pass out the elements to you. But you consider, is Christ living in you today? Because if you partake of this, you're saying, he lives in me. And I am affirming with my brothers and sisters, and these are your brothers and sisters, I'm affirming with them that the body of Christ is a real thing. And praise God, I'm a part of it. Only by his grace.